Hello, this is Mark Jenkins. Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to share this message with you entitled Realizing Our Full Potential. The instant we make Jesus Christ the Lord of our life, we are reborn into God's family as sons of God. As with any birth, the offspring comes into existence with unrealized potential. In order to tap into that potential, it's essential that growth, development, and maturing takes place. The same is true with every child of God. We must all grow and develop spiritually if we're ever going to realize our full potential as sons of God. I hope that you enjoy this message. Let's begin with prayer. Father God, we're so thankful for this opportunity to study your word. Thank you, Father, for the ministry of your Holy Ghost. Holy Spirit, you're the teacher. You're our comforter. Hallelujah. Thank you for teaching us so that we have the understanding and we can receive from it. Lord Jesus, thank you, Jesus, for loving us. Thank you for loving us so much that you gave your life for us. Thank you. And I come against the powers of darkness that would in any way attempt to bring distractions or disturbances. I arrest you now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for what we are going to receive this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Well, this message about what it means to be a success in the kingdom of God. It's what I taught on last time, the measure of success. And I can tell that it is continuing to be a theme in my heart that the Lord is wanting me to have a better understanding and to share that with others about being a success in the kingdom of God. You know, so often We look at one another and we compare ourselves with other people and try to determine whether or not we're successful or not based on what we see so many times in the natural world. Whether or not we have what other people have, whether our house is as nice as somebody else's house, you know, do we make as much money as somebody makes? And all those measuring sticks are measuring sticks that the world tells us and gives us and tells us they're important. But is that truly what God is looking at in our lives as far as the measure of success? I don't think so. And I think you would agree that if we only look at those as our measuring stick as far as determining our success in life, we're going to fall short. That we're going to miss all that God has for us. We're going to miss fulfilling, realizing. Catch these words: realizing the full potential of what we had available to us as born-again children of God. See, that, to me, the measure of success for me now as a born-again child of God, that's so much different than when I was not born again living in the world. There's two different worlds here. And we can't, as believers, as children of God, we can't look at the world, can't look at their standards, and use those standards to determine our success as children of God. It's two completely different worlds. And even when we're comparing ourselves against our brother in the Lord to determine whether or not we're successful spiritually, we're still missing it. And how can you say that, Mark? Well, if you'll join me in looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, this is what Paul wrote beginning in, or the verse 12 is a verse we want to read here. 2 Corinthians, his second letter to the church at Corinth, chapter 10, verse 12. For we dare not make ourselves of the number. Now that of the number means to judge one worthy of being admitted to a certain class. So he's saying, well, we dare not do that. You know, judge ourselves and put ourselves into some exclusive class. Or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. In other words, if the group that you're a part of, if it's one comparing themselves against another, and you're looking at each other, comparing each other against one another, Paul said that's not wise, because you're basing everything on what you can see with your natural eyes. And I'm going to tell you something. When you're basing your determination on what you see with your natural eyes, you're missing all that is in the spiritual world, which is more real than this world. See, it's God who is a spirit, who lives in the world of the spirit, created this world, this natural world. This natural world came from inside of him. The spiritual world is more real than this world. We just simply can't see it. So if we're only looking at each other, comparing what we see in the natural, we have no idea how much they have developed in their spiritual development, how much they have matured and developed into the image of Christ. We don't know. They could be basically spiritual babies. And we're running around looking at each other, thinking how great one person is, and elevating them. And Paul's telling us right here, that is not the way that you measure success. That's not the way you determine anything, by looking at each other, comparing yourselves among yourselves. It's not wise. And that goes for so many areas in the body of Christ. For example, we have these huge mega churches with, you know, so many people filling these pews week after week after week. If you look at it in the natural sense, you see all of those people. How many of us, the inclination is to say, well, that's success. That ministry is successful. And yet, if you could really see into the world of the Spirit and see as God sees, would it truly be a successful ministry? Who knows? Let's say, for example, that church that has all those people going week after week after week, what if they're only teaching about a third of the gospel now? How does that look now if you're looking at it from the eyes of God? That all these people are coming here, and yet they're only hearing about a third of the truth, and the rest of it is watered down, and it's done so in an effort to keep the people coming back. Now, is that truly success in the kingdom of God? Is that realizing the full potential? I have to wonder if that's truly the case. I can't imagine that it is, with people only hearing a very small portion of the truth. In other words, in so many cases, it's Jesus Christ is your Savior, that your sins are forgiven. And I thank God for that. Don't get me wrong. But what about the spiritual development
on an individual basis that we need to be hearing about, that we need to be encouraged about, that we need to be striving towards, developing on an individual basis, transforming into the image of Christ, allowing God's word to go inside of us, feeding ourselves on his word, and developing and growing and maturing. If we're not hearing that message and we're not doing that message, then what's going to happen down the road when the enemy attacks and the enemy comes in, and you know he comes in, you know he's going to come in and try to destroy, try to uproot, try to get people off of the Word of God, get people relying on the arm of the flesh. If an individual hasn't taken the time to grow in the things of God, to develop in their relationship with the Lord, to feed themselves individually on God's Word, to grow up spiritually, and to begin to realize the full potential of what it means to be a son of God. Now notice I said a son of God. I'm not saying the son of God. I'm saying a son of God, because that's what we are in the kingdom. We are sons of God when we're born again. But when we're born again, we're born as spiritual babies. And there has to be a growing, a developing, a maturing that takes place in our spirit. Our spirit has to grow, has to develop, has to mature in the things of God. In order for us to truly be accounted as successful in the kingdom, that has to be a major part of paving the way to being successful in God's kingdom, which really, it, to be quite honest with you, isn't success simply walking with him, knowing him, realizing who we have been born as sons of God, and growing in that understanding, growing in knowing who we are, realizing that potential. The potential's there in every one of us who've made Jesus Christ the Lord of our life. We have all been born equally into his kingdom. And let's look at that verse in Romans, Romans chapter 8. It's very important that that we understand this, that when we're born again, that we're born into this kingdom, on each one of us having the same standing in the kingdom. Let's begin reading in verse 14 of chapter 8, Romans 8. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Sons of God. See, that's the standing. That's who we have been born in this kingdom. Verse 15. For you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself, I rather call the Holy Spirit him, himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. See, when you were born again, when you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you became a child of God. The standing that you received as a child of God is the standing of being his son. And we're not sub-heirs with Jesus, him being the Son of God. We are not sub-heirs below him. We are joint heirs with him. joint heirs with Christ Jesus. That's the standing that we have in this kingdom. So each one of us comes into the kingdom of God with the same standing. You see, the first birth into this natural world was unfair. It was unfair. What do you mean by that, Mark? It was unfair in the fact that some people were born with a natural beauty. Others were born without that natural beauty. Some people had extreme talents. And they can sit down. I watched a child, I think it was a four-year-old, sit down who had learned the piano within a few months and was playing like advanced piano. I wasn't born with that. I could sit there and try for years and never play that good. I wasn't born with that talent. Now, there are some people that have intellect, extreme intellect. Others of us were born just real plain, and there's in the natural, there's nothing really exceptional about us. We're just average people. So there wasn't anything fair about that. And some people were born with less than average intelligence. So when Jesus made the new birth available to us, he leveled the playing field for us. Do you understand what I mean when I say that? He leveled the playing field for every one of us. Each one of us comes into the kingdom of God with the same potential. And what is that potential? That potential is to realize the fullness of being a son of God. We all have the same potential. And it doesn't matter what your first birth, the birth of Adam, you know, your birth into the natural world, it doesn't matter what that birth made available to you. You know, maybe you were born in the right family, on the right side of the tracks, and you had all this extreme wealth. Maybe you were born with extreme talent. Possibly before you came into the kingdom of God, possibly you were an extremely successful businessman. Or maybe you were an extremely successful actor or actress. And you came into the kingdom of God. And here you were with all of this natural success in the natural world. But if we could have seen you at that moment, if our eyes had been opened and we could have seen you at that moment spiritually, what we would see is a spiritual child, a spiritual baby that had just been born into the kingdom of God as a son of God with all kind of potential. The potential would be the potential of being a son of God and realizing what it means to be that son of God. I want to make sure that I clarify what this point I'm trying to make here. It would be like someone that in the natural world that was born, let's say, you know, the families in this country that have extreme wealth. We identify the Vanderbilts, that family, or the Rockefellers, or any of those people. So you have someone, let's say, that was born, and they were born of Rockefeller lineage. But let's say they didn't know they were Rockefellers. Something happened, who knows what, and they didn't realize who they were in the natural. Well, until they realize, until someone connects them with the family, until they have their eyes open to who they are in the natural world in their first birth as Rockefellers or Vanderbilts or whatever, they won't be able to partake of what it means to be a Rockefeller or a Vanderbilt. They won't be able to realize the full potential of being that son of a Rockefeller. They can't do it. They won't be able to do it because their eyes haven't been opened to that, and they don't know who they are. So let's take that and let's bring that into the illustration of being born a son of God. So many people go through the process of making Jesus Christ the Lord of their life and are never taught about the truth of the new birth, about what happened to them when they made Jesus the Lord of their life. And they have it only as freedom from sin. And they don't realize that it's so much more, that they have been reborn a new person, a brand new person, spiritually, that their spirit man has gone through a birth process and is a new creation. That's what Paul said, and I'll get to that verse later in 2 Corinthians 5. That we become new creations that never before existed. You say, well, this outer man didn't change. Well, no, he didn't, but the real you did, the real person on the inside did, and has all this potential to be realized. But there has to be a process that we participate in order to begin to realize that full potential of what it means to be a son of God. That's good stuff right there. And if we're only focusing on the fact that we've been freed from sin, and I thank God that we have, but if we're only focusing on that benefit of what Jesus did for us, we are missing a huge part of what Jesus did for us. He didn't just die and deliver us from sins. Yes, he did that, but then he was raised from the dead and paved the way for us to be born again into the family of God. And just like any child is born into a family, and they're born as just a little helpless baby, here we are born as spiritual babies. And in the natural, you take care of a baby, you nurture a baby, you feed the little baby, and the little baby grows and develops, and they get stronger, and they grow smarter, they read, they begin to read, they begin to write. They grow and they develop. Well, the same thing's true in the world of the spirit, except for the fact that we need to learn to feed ourselves. We can't simply rely on somebody else to feed us. The process of growing and developing and maturing and becoming responsible children of God requires us to learn how to feed ourselves, to learn how to partake of God's word and to grow and to develop in the things of God, to develop as a son of God, to have that image of Christ being formed in us, the image of what it means to be that son of God. Because until we realize who we are, who we have been born in the kingdom, until that reality begins to settle inside of us, we're going to be no different than that child that whose lineage was of the Rockefellers or the Vanderbilts, but they somehow were separated from their family, and they don't know who they are. They are estranged from their family, and as a result, they aren't able to realize the full potential of being the son of a Rockefeller or a Vanderbilt. For us, we have got to realize the potential of being a son of God, what it means to be a son of God. And nobody else is going to do this for you. It's up to each one of us individually to feed our spirit man, to spend time fellowshipping with the Lord, and to give ourselves over to the ministry of the Holy Ghost and enable Him to teach us, to nurture us, to help us in this growing process. That's why He is here. He's the teacher. He's the comforter. He's been sent to comfort us, to teach us, to help us, to enlighten us. And His ministry is not automatic. If it were, my goodness, we'd all be saying the same thing, because if His ministry was automatic, we'd all have His ministry at work in us. We would all have His intercession taking place without us having to do anything. And we'd all be saying the same thing, because the teacher only teaches one thing. And if the students are all hearing the teacher, then the students are going to all say the same thing. We can look at the body of Christ today and realize that that's not the case. We can look at the body of Christ and realize that, hey, we're not all singing the same tune. And why not? Well, the reason is because so many ministers, particularly, are relying on their mental reasoning instead of empowering the Holy Ghost to teach them. How do you empower the Holy Ghost to teach you, Mark? Mark, what are you doing? I am praying in other tongues. Well, how does that work? You yield yourself over to the ministry of the Holy Ghost, and you begin to speak out the words that you sense on the inside, that He is creating in your spirit, and then you give voice to it. Kodo bondo shatarabasi. Well, Mark, that sounds odd. That sounds like maybe that's the devil. That's a dangerous thing to say. Very dangerous. And yet there's whole denominations that say that. That's very dangerous. The Holy Ghost is not of the devil. The Holy Ghost is a third member of the Godhead. And when you pray in tongues, you're empowering Him, the Holy Spirit, the wonderful, sweet Holy Spirit, to come and to teach you and to nurture you and to reveal God's Word to you. Hallelujah. Let me read a few notes here. Our success as a member of the body of Christ is not determined by how we measure up against another person. In most cases, we're only looking at the outer man. Anytime we use the outer man as our standard, we're looking to our first birth, our birth into the race of Adam. So let's go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I was referring to this earlier, 2 Corinthians 5. This is Paul once again speaking. We'll start in verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us. I like how he says that. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. How about that? You sit and think about that for a minute. If one died for all, then we're all dead. When you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you entered into His death. That old man died. The person that you used to be died the death of the cross in Jesus. And I know that when the moment after you prayed the prayer of salvation, the moment after you received Jesus, that the outer man didn't look any different. And it wasn't different. It was the same. What was different was the real you, the spirit, on the inside. And that spirit man was a brand new baby, son, a son of God, that needed to grow, that needed to develop, that needed to be fed with the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. Peter says it this way. I'll just look this up real quick in 1 Peter chapter 2. He says, verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. There should not be any doubt in anybody's mind when they read that verse that there must be growth in a spirit. I've met people that I, at the time, I looked up to spiritually that didn't believe this, and it shocked me. It literally shocked me that they did not understand the concept that you feed your spirit man with the spirit food of God's Word, and there is growth in your spirit. Your spirit was not born again fully developed. It has to grow. It has to develop. If you're ever going to realize the potential that exists within you as a born again son of the living God, you're going to need to feed your spirit man with the Word of God. You're going to need to spend time with the Lord to develop in your fellowship, in your relationship with Him. And in so doing, the Holy Ghost is going to be able to reveal truth to you. There's going to be edification that takes place. As you pray in other tongues, you'll be edifying yourself, building yourself up. And as Jude said, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So if you're not doing it, then what are you missing? Because you're missing something. And if you're missing this, and there's only this way of receiving it, I want you to consider what that means in your walk with the Lord. Doesn't it mean that there's a whole area that is void because you have neglected, you have not participated in edifying yourself by praying in the Holy Ghost? There's a void there. And the developing of your reborn human spirit, it's not anybody else's responsibility, it's yours. Yes, there's people that can help us and can enlighten us. But when it's all said and done, we have to learn to feed ourselves and to develop in the things of God ourselves, and not look to someone else, not depend on somebody else to do that for us. And I think that as I look at the whole body of Christ, to me, in my opinion, it seems to me that that is one of the biggest problems that the body of Christ as a whole has. That everybody wants to look to somebody else to feed them. And unfortunately, if that is just a once a week church service, well, I tell you what, that's not very much. Just once a week you get a little bit of pablum, a little bit of baby food once a week. I mean, if we only fed a child once a week, I mean, we'd get thrown in prison for child abuse. So I want you to consider this, that there is spiritual development. There is a potential within you to be realized. That potential that exists is a potential, all of the potential that it means being a son of the living God. And it's there for you. It's there for me. It's there for every single one of us. But in order to realize it, there has to be growth. There has to be development. And I truly believe, now you might disagree with this, but I truly believe that even in the life of Jesus himself, that we saw this. And we saw it at the age of 12 particularly, when he went to the temple, his family left, and he stayed there, and he was talking to the leaders in the temple and questioning them, and he had questions that they were shocked over. And even at that, when his parents came back, and Jesus looked at them and said, "I must be about my Father's business." But notice that he did not strike out on his ministry tour the next day at the age of 12. Why did he not do that? Because there was still growth and development and wisdom that he needed to walk in before being able to receive the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Baptized at the River Jordan by John, what happened? The Holy Ghost came down upon him and anointed him, and anointed him for service as what? As the Son of God. That was what the anointing that came upon him was, anointing him for service as the Son of the living God. So take us, for example. What's going to happen as we develop, as we begin to walk and grow as sons of God? Shouldn't we expect the anointing of the Holy Ghost to come upon us? Yes. Yes, we should. And say, "Well, Mark, how does that work? I'm a business person. I work every day. I do this. I do that." Realizing our full potential, and I'm just starting to understand this myself, realizing our full potential as sons of God is simply walking with Jesus every day, following him, doing as he directs us to do, as he challenges us with the things that he wants us to do, that he directs us to do. It's going to happen as we walk through each day of our life. It's walking with him. It's following at what he directs us to do. It's stepping out of our comfort zone at times. I'm telling you, there are times that he will have you do something, and it will challenge you. And if you haven't done anything in the development of your reborn human spirit, and putting down the desires of the flesh, putting down those things that hold you back, you won't do them. You know, he might be wanting to lead us into those situations, but he won't even put that on us until we have qualified at that level of service. Because God's so wonderful. Hallelujah. He's not going to ask you to do something that you're not capable at whatever place and development that you are at this moment to do. He won't ask you to do something that you're going to reject, and in consequence, you're going to fail. So who's holding who back? That's the real question. Who's holding who back from realizing all of this potential of walking with the Lord and seeing the success as a son of God? Isn't it us? So many times I hear people say, "Well, God's in control. God's in control. And over the whole picture, the whole world, everything, yes, he's in control, but he's not controlling you, because love doesn't do that. Love has given you a choice. And your choice is whether or not you're going to continue to just live the way the world says to live. You know, you're going to have your job, have your nice home, have your family, and all of the measurements of success that the world says are important, you measure up in all those areas. Wonderful. But when it comes to the measurement of success in the kingdom, in other words, realizing the potential of being a son of God, you haven't even entered into the arena yet. So what's true success? You know, think about this. Think about a businessman who's, prior to coming to the Lord, great success in business. He got all of the awards from his company, or maybe he is an entrepreneur and he's got businesses all over the place, lots of money, big house, nice family. And then he gets born again. All right? Then he gets born again. Then he makes Jesus the Lord of his life. So my question to you is this: is he instantly a success in the kingdom of God simply because he was a success? He's a success in the world? No. No. Those two worlds don't, they don't overlap. Why don't they? Because of what we just read here. Look at this. My pages got turned. Look at this in 2 Corinthians 5. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now let's go back to my illustration. Businessman, before he came to the Lord, great success. Hallelujah. Got lots of money, nice cars, nice family, big house, and a swimming pool. Comes to Jesus. Okay, now, what is success for him in the kingdom of God? Does it mean he has to sell all of his stuff, give it all away? Because some people have that idea too. That action in the natural does not constitute maturity in the spirit. No. You know, if someone does that, just gives it all away, why? Because they saw somebody else do it? You see, now we're measuring ourselves against ourselves again, trying to mimic what we see other people do. Is that what God wants this person to do? Maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe what God wants this person to do is to simply grow in the things of God, grow and develop, begin to nurture his reborn human spirit, feed his spirit, empower the Holy Ghost to teach him, go through the edification process, grow up spiritually. And as he does this, I will tell you what happens. The desires, man, the desires change. What was important to this man before he came to Jesus, I can assure you, as he's putting down the things of the natural man and he's growing and developing in the things of God, his desires are going to be towards the Lord and towards doing what the Lord wants him to do instead of the gratification that he had previously of his flesh, gratifying his flesh, you know, heaping all of the things of the world on his flesh. Once he begins to grow and develop in the things of God, his heart is going to be so tender towards the Lord, and he's going to follow the things that the Lord wants him to do. It doesn't mean that he's going to have to give all of his wealth away, but I'll tell you something. When his heart changes, he'll want to give. He'll want to be a blessing in the kingdom. And then it's simply a matter of him following the Lord into what the Lord has called him to do, and fulfilling that, realizing the full potential of being a son of God. See, here's what seems to happen as far as what I can tell over the years. People have this idea, well, now that I'm born again, I need to look like this person. I need to look like this person. Here we go, comparing ourselves against ourselves. I need to look like so-and-so. Here you go. They were rich like I'm rich, and they got born again, and they did this, so I'm going to go do that. You missed the boat 100% when you do that. You know, and this is real bad when it comes to what what Christians will do when they hear someone that's ultra talented in the music industry and they get saved. And so they've been born again all of 2 weeks. And the next thing you know, I mean, they were a great success in the world. The next thing you know, their face is on Christian TV and they're out there singing. These people are just spiritual babies. They have no business being on the stage at that point. It's like taking a newborn baby and sticking them in front of a camera. I mean, that's just foolishness. I don't care who you are, it's foolish. There needs to be growth and development. Well, so-and-so did it, so I should. See, that's foolish. We need to learn to follow Jesus individually. My walk, it's not going to look like yours. And yours isn't going to look like me. And we can't determine, we can't say, well, I'm a success because my walk looks like this person, and I determine that they're a success, so we're all successes. No, you're a success when you grow in the things of God and you follow God. That's success, because you are beginning to realize the potential of being a son of God. See, that's where true success is, not because your life in any way resembles somebody else's that you deem successful. No, you're a success because you follow Jesus and you do what he directs you to do. And that image of Christ is being formed in you, and you are growing and developing in the things of God. And being a son of God, it becomes, let me say this, you begin to realize what it means to be a son of God. And as that happens, now you're on track. Now you're coming to the place that God can use you. And I'm not saying that it has to be a pulpit ministry. No, I'm not saying you have to leave your business life. Maybe he's going to use you right there in that business world. I don't know. He does. And the Holy Ghost does. And as you spend time, kodo bosandarabasi, God's desires will become your desires, and he will lead you by that desire, and he will guide you into the place that he wants you to be in. Hallelujah. That's how we measure success in the kingdom. There's got to be growth. There's got to be development. And as you grow in the things of God, as you develop in the things of God, he can use you at higher levels of service. And you simply follow him into those higher levels of service, no matter what it looks like, no matter if anybody else you know is doing it, you do it. You keep doing it. Because that's what God's led you to do. That's what all of this live stream for me is. He led me to do this. You say, well, where's all of the flock of thousands tuning in? Hey, that's not how I measure success. I measure it because he led me into this, and I'm doing it. That's how I account that as success. I'm doing what he directed me to do. Debbie's doing what he directed us to do. That's success. It's not because there's multitudes and multitudes. Hey, if the multitudes are following you, and you're preaching about a quarter of the true gospel, and you want to count that successful, I'm not sure that that would be a good thing to measure and say is successful. All right, let me go on here. I'm going to read this last verse in 2 Corinthians 5:17. I love this verse. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You are a new person. You're not the same person that you used to be. Glory to God. That first birth where you, maybe you had all these talents that you depended on in order to be successful in the world. Maybe you were smart. Maybe you had all the good looks. And as a result, you know, you received the promotions in business, and you depended on all of that. And so you counted yourself successful. Well, God leveled the playing field when he provided us with the new birth, because nobody is any better than anybody else in this kingdom. We are joint heirs with Christ Jesus. We're all the same. We are sons of the living God. And yes, some have a higher level of responsibility. Why is that? Because they have qualified themselves by the level of maturity that they have grown into. They've grown to that place that God's able to give them higher levels of responsibility and service to the kingdom. Does it make them any better? No, we're all the same. It just means that they accepted the responsibility for their growth and their development. They did something with what he gave them. And as a consequence, as a result of that, he was able to promote them to higher levels of service. That's all it means. Doesn't mean that he loves them more. No, he can't. His love maxed out for us in Jesus. So he doesn't love one person more than the other. Well, it sure seems that way. So-and-so, you know, God uses so-and-so this way, and it's so spectacular. Look, anybody that's truly being used of God, it's because they have developed in their relationship, that they've developed in the things of God, and they've developed in that image of being the Son of God. Unless, of course, it's just a gift, and they're just operating in a gift, and there's no development necessary for that, all right? There is that possibility. But I would rather that if there's a promotion, the promotion is the result of the fact that I have grown and developed as a son of God. You know, there were people, as I was alluding to there for a minute, they're in the 50s. Well, there was a gift. There was no need for any growth or maturity. And some of them proved that when you look at the way they lived. But there was a gift. And let me read this. I read this yesterday. And I'm telling you what, it just stood out so much to me. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's begin reading in verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. And it's amazing how much ignorance there is about spiritual gifts. You know that you were Gentiles carried away into these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord, and there are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation, look at these words. These words jumped out at me. I think they're going to shock you too. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to half of every person. No. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. How about that? The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Now, certainly, there has to be the new birth experience there when we're talking about every man. Every man would be every human being born again. But think about that. There isn't anything as far as qualifications for that. See what I'm saying? The gifts are just simply available to every man for the profit of all. But what I'm talking about tonight is the development of your reborn human spirit, which isn't a gift that comes and goes. In other words, you know, when the gifts come, the individual has no control whatsoever. In other words, the Holy Ghost just shows up and manifests himself through that gift, through that individual. Individual has nothing to do with it. If they end up in sin, there's a potential that they could still operate in the gift. Why? Because of God's love for the people. And he wants to bless the people. But what I'm talking about is not operating as a gift. I'm not talking about gifts. I'm talking about individuals who develop in the reborn human spirit that make the decision on their selves to grow up spiritually. And in doing so, the image of Christ is formed within them. There's that picture of being a son of God on the inside of them that is developed, and the Holy Ghost is able to anoint that image, and as a result, God is able to bless through that person. That's what I'm talking about. And that is a decision that each one of us as believers have to make. Are we going to go through that process? Are we going to feed our spirit and develop? Are we going to realize the potential that exists within us? Hallelujah. I challenge you to do what you know will cause that change to take place inside of you, that will cause that development to take place. Do what you know. Feed your spirit. Read the word. Pray in tongues. These are the things, and fasting, these are the things will cause that change inside of you. Hallelujah. I'll pray. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for enabling us to feed ourselves on the Word of God and to grow up and to develop and to begin to realize the full potential of what it means to be a son of God. Hallelujah. I thank you, Father. We don't want to just stay spiritual babies the rest of our life with our thumbs in our spiritual mouths. We want to grow and change and develop and become useful to you in your kingdom. And I thank you, Father. I thank you that we are realizing the potential that exists within us as sons of the living God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hi, this is Mark. It's been my pleasure to share this message with you. I hope that you receive something from it. If you'd like to contact our ministry, you can do so at www.markjenkinsministries.org. I hope that you'll join us again. Be blessed.